I gave them certain scenarios where we have this script and I would say, hey, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you're going to get this emergency email and something's going to change. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but something's going to change. And you're going to have to readjust your script because that always happens.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Jason McConnell, video content coordinator at Wanakee High School in Wisconsin. He shares his experience with our event production curriculum, how he's implemented it for virtual learning, and many different examples of how he's engaging his students while teaching them about producing live events with a video board. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We got Matt over here too. Matt, you doing all right?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
Okay. So Jason, can we start with just a quick background of yourself, an origin story, if you will?
When we first got our video board, we got our video board in 2017. And I've been teaching here at Wanakee for 22 years now, and mainly been teaching speech and mass media this whole time. And then when we got the video board, that kind of got tossed into our mass media class when we initially started. We got our board 2 weeks before our first home game. And so it was very much a crash course in learning how to do the board. So we've kind of incorporated that a little bit over the years in our mass media class. And now we have started a digital communications class, which is specifically designed for the video board.
Okay. And you kind of mentioned, you know, the areas that you're helping out with here. Have you done this anywhere else, or is this kind of maybe before you had this role at Wanakee High School? What did you do before that?
So mainly it was just teaching my speech and mass media class. I've been involved in sports here. I coach basketball here for a time, and I've coached at some other schools. So that's kind of been more my co-curricular. But in my off seasons, I announce for volleyball. I do booking and scoreboard for volleyball here. I've announced for the football team for 20-some years, off and on, and done some stuff for the track and lacrosse. And so we've had it kind of fits into what we did with the video board, is that I've helped out with football. I've helped out with track. I've helped out with lacrosse in various kind of various modes. And so when the video board kind of came to town back in 2017, the best fit, it was kind of a surprise. It was all of a sudden like we got a video board and they're like, hey, you know, this is going to fit well with your mass media class. Here you go. And so we definitely had that 2 weeks prior to our first home game. We had gone up to Burnsville, Minnesota for a summit to kind of get an idea of kind of how everything was working. And then that week prior to our first home game, there was a lot of one-on-one time with me and the board up in our press box, some pretty late nights trying to create content, put content on, and just trying to get it fired up for our first year. And then that kind of progressed to, you know, doing more things with our video board, trying to come up with ways to incorporate that initially into the mass media class, while this whole time, the last 3 years or so, we've been kind of planning on how to create an actual class for it. And we had to work out some logistics and some of the things like that.
And this is kind of, I feel like you were well-rounded for this too, right? I mean, yeah. Aside from being involved in mass communication, you mentioned, I mean, the coaching experience, you did audio, you did voiceovers
announcing
for football. Announcing. Yeah. Thanks, Justin. Announcing for football. You had a lot of these different areas. So they probably looked at you as both mass communications, right? And you're familiar with a lot of the different parts of the game that already happen.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice fit. My majors that I ended up with in college were speech communications and secondary ed and coaching, but I had started out in radio, TV, film. And so I had a lot of experience in radio, TV, film before I started to go into teaching. And so my initial idea going in as a freshman in college was to get into broadcasting. And so because I wanted to coach, they kind of steered me more toward the teaching coaching aspect, because that was more important to me at the time than broadcasting, because I figured I could always do broadcasting after I was done coaching. So being able to announce has kind of allowed me to continue that. And then that kind of worked hand in hand with ended up running the board for the last 3 years. So at the football games at home, I run the board, I announce, I do the music, I hit all the buttons, all that stuff. So it's, I have my own little corner in the press box, and people know kind of to give me my space because I've got all these things going on. And it's a, I feel like I'm spinning plates, you know, behind the Wizard of Oz.
Nice. Yeah. Everything you were saying there kind of all came together for you, kind of the perfect storm, and you're doing a whole bunch of different stuff there. So obviously, a pandemic came through and things kind of changed. How are things looking at your school right now? Or how does the school year look for you and your events?
We are completely virtual here at the high school. The teachers are in the building. So we're teaching from our classrooms, which is kind of nice because we kind of got kind of all the stuff we need. But all of our kids are at home. We're in what they call an enhanced virtual. And so we have certain classes like a welding class, maybe an AP bio or something that really needs the kids to be here in order to kind of function the way it needs to function. And so about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we finally got approved to bring those kids in. There's only certain classes that they allowed to bring kids in. My class wasn't one of them, because we were able to pretty much do it virtually. And so we are on a virtual schedule right now until it sounds like we had actually had a meeting today. It sounds like it's not going to be until second semester before we potentially have a hybrid model where kids would be coming in half time and going that way. So that kind of bumped all of our athletics to what they call a spring to fall season, or fall to spring season rather. Where our volleyball, soccer, football have all moved to March now, and our spring sports aren't going to start until late April, early May. And some of our fall sports went, like cross country, tennis, some of the more individual sports could still go. But any of all of our team sports, because of our restrictions here, where we are in Dane County, we literally can't host a football game. We can only have 25 people. We can't do anything inside because you can only have 10 people right now because our case numbers are so high. So we decided at that point that we were going to move all of our sports to kind of make sure our kids get at least a shot in March at having a season. So that kind of, you know, with the digital comm class that we have, with the video board kind of being reliant on having a football season to kind of parallel, that kind of threw a wrench into everything once football moved. So we're having to pretend that there's a season right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned that class and how this has affected everything. I know you have the event production curriculum, and I'm curious, how's that working with everything being virtual?
It's definitely an interesting marathon here that we're running. So when we got approved for the class in January, at that point had not ever anticipated that there would be anything like a pandemic coming. And so a lot of the initial planning had kind of accounted for having the kids here, getting them up into the box. We don't have any cameras yet, so we're not doing instant replay or anything like that. So it's a lot of graphic design, a lot of game scripting, things like that. And so the plan was kind of to parallel what was happening in the season, having them working on things like a starting lineup video, hype video, those kind of things. And when that all went away, when we knew we weren't going to have a football season and we were going to become a virtual class, I ended up redesigning the whole class. Basically, I think it's going to be just for this year. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be able to go back to the original next year, hopefully, by the time September rolls around. And so, it's been different. I think it was kind of, we were just hoping to get the plane off the ground and then we could kind of worry about the in-flight meal later. And we ended up finally being able to kind of figure out a way to do it. Got that plane off the ground metaphorically. And now it actually has kind of worked out because this is the first go around for a lot of these kids. I have two sections this semester. I have one section next semester. And it's kind of nice being able to go at a much slower pace with these kids. A lot of kids are either heavy into graphic design, really interested in video photography or videography, but they've never really experienced a football game, or they've been to a football game but never really thought about the structure of how a football game works and you know, the planning that goes into it. And so it's been kind of a nice kind of crash course for them. And all of a sudden they realize how much planning actually goes into this. And it's not just everybody showing up, tossing out the ball and off we go.
Yeah. So it's kind of curious because I think we've even talked with some of our college and professional customers when everything happened earlier this year. You know, there's some things like you can maybe remote in and look at software, create graphics, things you can do without having to actually physically be in the control room, right? But there's certain things you do, and it's just the experiences of either, you know, running an instant replay machine and other things like that kind of get hard to mock up. But I'm almost kind of getting, that's what you were talking about, is adjusting this curriculum, right? It's you want them to still be learning things, but you know they can't physically be there to operate it. So what are some of those tasks that can be done remotely? And I think you've kind of touched on this right now. You have new kids, maybe kids that have had some experience, but when everything's getting, you know, pushed to the spring, you could all of a sudden have a lot of things going on in the spring, right? So maybe just talk about how important it is to make sure that you are doing something correctly, not just sitting around kind of waiting, you know?
Yeah, when our spring rolls around, we're going to end up having football, and then immediately it gets chased by lacrosse and track. So we're not going to have that time in between to prepare. Everything's going to happen at once, which makes me a little twitchy every time I kind of think about it.
Sorry to bring it up.
So, no, that's all right. It's going to, you know, we're able to plan now, which is kind of nice because we're able to plan for a lot of the football stuff now. And then when spring rolls around, we can kind of do some of the finishing touches. A lot of the stuff will be done already. And then we can really focus on lacrosse and track, which are our other two sports that utilize the board. But so kind of what we're doing now is early on, I really wanted the kids to kind of understand how our job with the video board kind of coordinates with everything else. And so there are a couple videos that I found out on the internet. I think NFL Films had made them. One was a behind the scenes of 24 hours prior to a Baltimore Ravens game. And then there's another one with the Packers. And so it was nice for the kids to be able to watch those. And so we discussed all the different types of jobs that go into running a game at a stadium. And it was nice because it got the kids to think about the logistics of how all these moving parts come together and how many of those jobs then interrelate to the video board, you know, a group of people, you know, how many people you have to be able to coordinate. And so it got them thinking about how we do this kind of this delicate dance with everybody and how we ended up becoming as important as we are to that process. And then we kind of moved on to creating graphics. And so we started out with downloading all of the logos in our conference. And we have 18 teams that participate in our conference. And so it was a matter of just this process of getting them used to, hey, download a logo, create a transparent background, add a border to it, kind of doing a progression of how you would potentially create and utilize logos, different graphics, same thing that would happen with like a sponsor, things like that. And then we moved on to game scripting. We just finished up game scripting and getting them used to, you know, all the things that happen in a game. Think about logically how long those things take, where they should go, how much time do you have. I gave them certain scenarios where we have this script. And I would say, hey, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you're going to get this emergency email and something's going to change. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but something's going to change. And you're going to have to readjust your script because that always happens.
Yeah.
And there's always something that comes into play. And so I wanted it to make it as realistic as possible because the original plan was each week that we hosted the game on Monday, we would create that script. We'd talk with our AD and say, hey, what's coming up? And they would have to make a script for our game coming up that Friday. Now that we have some extra time, I needed to kind of put some teeth into it and kind of make that kind of real world pressure. So they didn't know what was coming. They just knew something was coming. And then the next version of the script we did, I tossed in like the first week we did it, I did like just a regular game, no special event. And then I'm like, all right, next week it's youth night. Here are all these different things we have to do with youth night. And then we did one more script. And last year, we actually had a homecoming and senior night on the same night just because of the way the schedule worked out.
Okay.
We had a double event. So that was the last one we did. And so you got the band playing, you got cheerleaders, you got dance team, you got senior announcements, you got all these different activities that are going on. And so they really got a good idea as to how to adjust things. I gave them a scenario where I said, in our pregame roll, we have all these sponsors. It has to rotate 15 times all the way through because that was in our quote unquote contract that we made up.
Right.
And you know, there's certain announcements that have to be there. And so just giving them all these different real world scenarios to kind of think about how that process really works and how you have to adjust from game to game. And so some kids were able to pick on it up on it really quick that some events go in the same spot every game. and that you have different variables. And other kids, it kind of took one or two scripts for them to kind of all of a sudden click, like, hey, can these things go in the same spot every game? I'm like, absolutely. They should go in the same spot every game. Yeah. You do want that consistency. You know, you do need the national anthem to be at the same time every single game. You do want your starting lineups. You do want to communicate to the band how much time they have to play before you start up all of your content. And so, you know, talking about the different, all the different wheels and motions that have to kind of come together. And so it was definitely kind of a blessing in disguise that we ended up in virtual right now, because it allowed me, we only have 2 45-minute classes a week. So we go on Monday, Tuesday, A and B day, with different classes. We only get to see our kids 45 minutes on one of those 2 days. Mm-hmm. On a Wednesday, we have an asynchronous Wednesday where we have meetings for teachers. We're planning stuff. We're meeting with kids who need help. Kids are working from home. And then Thursday, Friday, you kind of repeat Mondays and Tuesdays. And so I only get to see them 90 minutes total a week. In a normal scenario, I would see them 2.5 times a week for 90 minutes. And so we go from, I think we figured it was like 44 classes, 45, 90 minute classes, mm-hmm. down to the equivalent of 18. So we're taking, we only get about 40% of the time that we normally would have.
Wow.
So being able to kind of schedule out, what do we talk about when we're live with the kids? What do I have to push off? You know, watching a video we might normally do in class and then discuss. Now we're pushing that off. You're watching it on your own. You're filling out this reaction form. You know, what did you find interesting? What do you have questions on? And then we come back and we discuss it next class. So it's definitely kind of changed the layout of how we kind of go about the class. But I also think it's kind of helped us to kind of take it in baby steps, especially with it being our first year.
Wow, this, I'm already very amazed at the amount of detail you're going into with this, because right. I'm looking at Justin. I'm like, wow, I've got so many questions in my head to ask you. I'm going to try and organize my brain here to get these out. But it's the amount of detail, though, is what you're putting into this. Because I mean, I've talked with our event producers. I've been to games at all different levels and sat in control rooms. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about everything from stuff from the band to making sure ad rotations are going, all these things happening. When you realize that this is going to have to be virtual, did you just kind of, you know, sit down in a room and start your own, like, I would say you're writing up a story or a book, but like, how does an actual game day go? And then that's how you started coming up with this? Because you're including every detail I can think about that would happen during a game, and it's impressive.
The kids are living my life for the last 3 years. Yeah. Really what they're doing.
Do you have a journal or a diary you're pulling from for all this too? Or?
Exactly. So it was all the things that I kind of ran into. So like when we did the logos, you know, one of the first things we had to figure out was, you know, how are we getting all the logos? You know, how are we changing? How do we utilize the logos in different ways? And so what I wanted them to do with the logos was, hey, I need you to go through this process, because if you get a company logo, if you get a club logo, you know, they're going to give it to you, but we need to make sure that we can use it in different ways. And so it was a lot of redoing things over and over again with some kids. We were really picky on the naming conventions. Mm. That you have to name it a certain way. Because if you don't, and this was something that Abby Thistle had talked about in our virtual summit that I attended, and it was nice for me to be able to kind of communicate that with the kids and say, hey, you know, the Patriots talk about how important naming conventions are. So if you don't name it the very specific way it needs to, when that video board is looking for that file and you're typing in the name of the new opponent and you left off, you know, you put in a U in Reedsburg instead of an E at the end, it's not going to find it. You're going to get this blank spot on the board. And now we potentially have 60 different buttons that aren't going to work. And so it kind of, you know, every time they turned in their set. So I had a Google Drive folder set up for them. They would submit their logos and their Photoshop files for those logos. So I could kind of see where it went wrong, mm-hmm. if they messed up. And so they had to submit everything. But they had to name it a very specific way. Otherwise, I didn't count it, and they had to do it again. And so there are some kids, I'm like, hey, you got 17 out of 18 of your names right. You got to go back and figure out which one is wrong, you know, or these are the five. Like, this is what you're doing wrong. Because some kids were like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like, well, you don't have the space in between. Or you put down Sock, but you didn't put down Sock Prairie, and the computer is looking for Sock Prairie, you know, or you called it Defoe, but the computer is looking for DeForest. Like, you can't. you have to be able to, everybody's got to be on the same language. And so once kids kind of picked up on that, then all of a sudden they realized, hey, that's really, really important. Especially once they would get to the video board and they would start running it, which we haven't been able to do yet, is to get them up there. But I said, hey, you're going to realize really fast why that's so important.
Right. The devil's in the details there. You got to get everything lined up correctly.
Exactly. And I think the moment where I said, hey, the Patriots demand that they have, because I think Abby ended up talking about, I think it was like a Bud Light logo or something where it would come in the day of and it has to be named a certain way because there's 60 different boards and graphics that it goes out to. Said, you know, it's something that they have to do. We have to do the exact same thing. We're using the same software. And that kind of also kind of gets their attention too when they realize that we're using the same software as everybody else. All of a sudden, it kind of makes it a little bit more real for them, I guess. And so the same thing with the game scripting. It was, you know, my entire journey from the first time I ran a board to the last time I've run this board, you know, all the things that we found out. I mean, we discovered that the pep band can't play as much because we had content all of a sudden now that we had to play. And we kind of figured that out after the first game of the pep band came back. And we didn't know when they were going to play. They didn't know when we had stuff. It was like, hey, we got to make sure that the pep band is in on what we're doing. And so we had to share the script with them. And all of a sudden, every single game, I would keep on taking notes. Like, hey, we got to change this. We got to add this feature.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it became, you know, a very kind of a complicated scheme. But as many of the kids have now said, like, wow, we didn't realize how much work kind of goes into a game.
And this,
like,
is...
Now you know how I feel.
Yeah.
And this kind of goes...
And a new appreciation.
Yeah, we've said this on numerous podcasts before too, with talking with customers, is almost like you're saying, when someone gets a video board for the first time that first year, a lot of it is learning how to run it. And we say, like, you know, don't crash it. But then seeing what happens in years two and three are so different than how they use it that first year, because it's either, like you're saying, now you're writing down notes, you're learning and growing every time, or you start to look at other sporting events you're attending to, whether you go to like an NFL game or something, and you're watching the board more than you used to and taking notes. So it's always cool to hear people that grow after that first year and kind of pick up all these little tips and tricks. But
yeah, you're refining the process as you go, and you find out at the beginning, it's not just, oh, we got a big TV, we turn it on and that's it. Yeah. There's a lot more to it.
And I want to go back to what you were saying too, then, Jason, about now they get a taste of what your life is like. Cause you were saying this earlier too, but it's a career now, right? The more we talk about people, it's the earlier they get involved, you're doing it at a high school level. They get used to this. They do know what it's going to be like. So you can either weed out the people that don't want to be a part of it anymore by putting them through these stress tests,
yeah,
or finding out who's cut out for it. But then that can happen in college, right? So we've talked with colleges too, about if someone comes in and they've had previous experience with a video board, that's a huge thing. Resume, you're already talking about resume materials when you're in high school. But then if you like it in college, then you can go on and do this professionally as a career. So it's an awesome way to kind of start out and figure out if it is for them or not.
And that's exactly how we kind of marketed the class. We actually had, so originally we were going to have one section of 15 in the fall, one section of 15 in the spring. Our district likes to, whenever we do a new class, they kind of like to keep it basically the one section of 15 just as a trial, just to make sure everything goes all right. And it's a lot easier to kind of plan, you know, having five sections of 30 and trying to manage 150 kids. We ended up, because of the demand and because of some scheduling things, we ended up doing a section of 15 and a section of 12 this semester. And it kind of varied. It kind of bounced between 12 and 15. So we had roughly 27 to 30 kids in the fall. We've got one section of 16 in the spring. But we had a huge list. I think we had 110, 120 kids interested in the class. So we knew we were going to have to do some sort of application process. And so we had the kids fill out an application, kind of explain why they were interested, what kind of background did they have. There were a couple classes like Photoshop 2, 3D animation, any of these kind of classes that potentially would give them an edge in regards to, you know, making projects and having the familiarity with Photoshop and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to narrow that down and kind of get a nice cross section of kids. You know, some kids who had, you know, maybe a sports background, but didn't have the Photoshop. Some kids who didn't have the sports background, but had the Photoshop or had the the photography skills, those kind of things, and kind of got a nice cross section, especially in this first year, just to kind of see how certain kids would respond, what kind of kids kind of make it through, because that'll also then help us later on to say, okay, you know, in January when we're doing registrations again for the following year, you know, we may need to change our prerequisites, change our application questions, those kind of things too. Make sure that we're getting the kids in the class that can most benefit from it, but also get kids in there that potentially on paper maybe would look like, maybe that they wouldn't benefit, but these are actually the kids who do benefit because they learn a bunch of skills and these kind of things. So trying to kind of find that typical student that would benefit the most from the class.
I want to bring it back a little bit. You mentioned the virtual video summit a couple of times that you were able to attend. Can you tell us a little bit what that was like and some of your takeaways from it?
Oh, that was great to be able to connect with. I'm not sure how many people are running this curriculum or even, you know, kind of running the boards, but there's about 12 or 15 of us in that summit kind of consistently that were in high schools. And it's really cool to hear what other people are doing. To be able to hear what they're doing in Texas or South Carolina, where they have a bigger stadium, with, 14,000 seat high school stadium. They've got a camera crew. They're doing instant replay. There was one squad, I think it was Prosper, Texas. They have a student run pregame show and everything. And so kind of see how far in the future they are ahead of us, but to be able to network with them, communicate with them, and get a really good idea of, hey, how do you set this up? How do you set up your cameras? How are you using your board? How are you doing these kind of graphics? And be able to trade ideas and kind of get a plan for the future. Because our hope is at some point down the line, we're able to, have kids running the entire board, doing all the scripting, having our crew meetings, having kids run cameras, having a instant replay, all those kind of things that are down the line for us. But it's nice to be able to have those connections and have that network to be able to plan that far ahead in the future. Because without that, I would have no idea, how to go about those. And talking to people that have gone through it, especially at the high school level where you're dealing with high school kids, and all the little hurdles that kind of come with working with kids, you get to see how they responded, how they kind of ironed out the wrinkles that they've come across, so you maybe you can avoid those hurdles later on, and then get some really cool ideas that a lot of times the kids come up with, that, you can toss out there to your kids and perhaps spark some ideas, on our end.
Yeah, that's great feedback. We'll definitely have to let everyone know here at Dectronics that helps out with that summit too, because I would say we host different summits for different levels. And that is kind of, I wouldn't say it's a common theme, but kind of like you're saying, Jason, is there's this idea sharing that goes on because everyone gets together. And I've even seen with like our Major League Baseball teams when they get together, right? You may have what you think of as rivalries in Major League Baseball, and there they are in the same room and they're just talking with each other and sharing ideas. And it's because you're all in the same business. You're all trying to learn and grow from each other. And then the funny part of it is always you're not competing for the same fans, right? Like you're not worried about losing kids at your high school attending it, or fans or parents attending it more because they went to a high school in South Carolina, right? So there's this, you can learn from each other all around the country, and you're not worried about like losing fans because you're sharing your idea to someone else.
Exactly. I kind of think of it as, with my 20 plus years of coaching, we all steal from each other. Mm-hmm. We're all stealing each other's plays. We're stealing each other's ideas, practice drills, those kind of things. And kind of doing the same thing here where, you hear what they do in New England with the Patriots. You hear what they're doing at the University of Florida. You're hearing what they're doing at a high school in Texas or a high school in South Carolina. And you can get ideas from that. Being able to see what, a pro baseball team would do. Or what a pro football team would do, being able to kind of see that insight. And maybe you can't do it on their level, but maybe you get a cool enough idea. You say, hey, we can kind of change that to fit our equipment, what we have available to us, but we can do some version of that idea to kind of make our experience a little bit cooler. And that's always kind of been something that we talked earlier about, that first year on the board, whatever you can get on the board, people are super happy about it. And so we just, you know, we wanted to make sure that every year we stepped it up just a little bit, you know, whether it was redesigning the scoreboard, redesigning our graphics, doing a hype video, changing our starting lineup, all those things. You know, every year there's something new to look forward to. Last year we added a trivia game and we did some other things.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, trying to always do kind of almost like one up ourselves. You know, what can we do this year? How can we change what we do? We added a graphic last year where, and if you watch the games on Fox or ESPN or, you know, whenever they score a touchdown, you kind of get that touchdown logo that kind of pops up and the word touchdown kind of expands. And, yep. And now you see like they're putting the name of the players. And we did that last year on our board. So whenever a player scored a touchdown, we had our touchdown animation. We had what we call a skinny card, which is kind of just a picture of the player with their name and number. And that kind of pops up on the right side. And then our scoreboard disappears and it says touchdown. And then the kid's name. And then our animation goes off. And so that was something that we added last year, and it plays music and, you know, the kids kind of get to pick their touchdown song. It was something that was really, really fun because it got our, you know, the football guys involved. It got the student section involved because they wanted to see, you know, what song got picked, or, you know, the parents, as soon as, you know, the starting lineup video popped up or their kid made a play or the kid scored the touchdown, that phone immediately goes to the video board and people are taking pictures of it. And so it's kind of fun to see what the parents and kids responded to. And so that also kind of helps us always think about how we are going about the next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so like this year we're working on, I've got a former student who graduated in 2014, who's kind of been my right-hand man this whole time before we got the class going, and just trying to figure out, you know, okay, we did the, you know, what we call the player cards, which is just our player graphics. Whenever a player makes a play, their picture and number pops up. You know, the first year we did it, it was just text. The second year we did it, we added their picture. Now we added, you know, a 3D background. This year we're looking to put like a motion animation behind it. We're looking to redo the touchdown name animation. And, you know, you get a lot of different kind of influences from different places, you know, just watching certain TV shows, you know, and trying to break down how maybe they do their animations on, you know, whether it's an NFL game or even something like The Voice, when they hit their button and the chair turns around, the name pops up, you know, say, hey, you know, okay, that's a name animation, and, you know, trying to figure out frame by frame, how do they build that kind of style of animation, just to get some cool ideas as to maybe we can change it, you know, change it up and kind of get it maybe similar to that. You know, so we're always looking for ideas kind of in the weirdest places. And a lot of times that really ends up making some pretty cool results.
And that's a really cool way to get fans engaged too. And the students engaged and the players excited about it too, is just the putting their name up and having them choose their own music that goes with it. That's a really cool idea.
It's like the walk-up music, but you're ideas from broadcast type television and you're giving that experience to high school students, right? So it's like, it's awesome thing. Cause if you're a parent, my kids are too young to be in football right now. They're in grade school. But if I saw that kind of stuff, and it was what I was used to seeing on like a Saturday for college football or Sunday for the NFL, and I saw it for my kid at a high school, I'd be ecstatic. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. You'd be the parent with your phone open as soon as on the video board and
absolutely,
sharing it everywhere
you could.
Yeah. Who wouldn't, right?
Yep. No, that's awesome, Jason. And it's you learning to share these different ideas. And I mean, even though the summit here, I think we held it this past May virtually, we usually have them in person. So because of everything going on, we had to go virtual this year. But I believe I heard that you have been out to visit us in Brookings before. Is that correct?
I did a year ago this past April. So that would have been April of 19.
Okay.
I came out to the headquarters there, got the tour. And it was really cool to see the production aspect of it, to see how all the Legos got put together, if you will. And just to see the process and to see certain pieces in different stages, that was really cool. Being able to talk with a lot of the different people in the different departments, for them to kind of pick my brain and for me to pick their brain on different aspects. And it was really, it was a fun little mini vacation. out there. Got to take a little tour of Brookings.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the different hot spots there in Brookings. So
there you go. Yeah, vacation to Brookings. We don't hear that very often.
I was just going
to
say, was this on your bucket list, or were you on, what brought you out, or did you just kind of have some meetings with people out here, or just wanted to always kind of see our facilities, or what brought you to Brookings?
It was something where our sales guy actually lives very close to us here in Wanakee. And so it was one of those things where he's like, hey, you know, do you want to come out and take a tour? And, you know, some of the people at Dectronics would like to pick your brain a little bit. And so it was really cool. We had, I think it was one whole day of, it was like a sales meeting and then a marketing meeting and then a kind of a graphics meeting and, you know, content meeting. So I'm kind of getting to meet everybody. But also them asking me questions, me asking them questions. And so I'm not sure if anybody's ever uttered the phrase, I went to Brookings, South Dakota on vacation, but if I'm the first human to do it, I've done it.
Mark it down.
We've had some customers stop by because they're on their way through going somewhere. And
yeah,
if you're thinking Mount Rushmore, that's the other side of the state, right?
Right. So
as vacation heavy as I guess that is.
Right.
But it's a great little college town, you know, and it's a great environment. And it's really cool to see how Dectronics, you know, really is one of the big kind of job center hubs there, and what an influence it has. And so it was nice to see the mothership, if you will, where everything kind of takes place.
That's kind of what I've heard from some customers when they've flown into Sioux Falls and come up to Brookings for the first time, right? You're coming up, it's Eastern South Dakota, there's a lot of open plains, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you know, you're there and there's all our Dectronics manufacturing facilities and all this going on. And it's, wow, this is really just out here, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So with everything we've discussed today, I mean, that's a lot. It's great to hear all those details about what you're doing with your students and how you've adjusted your curriculum to be virtual during this time. What are you most looking forward to maybe in the spring when things possibly start coming back?
I think the excitement of having our sports again, but being able to have some of the kids create content that ends up on the board. That spring semester, I think, will be a little bit more chaotic, potentially in a good way, but definitely kind of more real world for the kids, because we will have football and then boys and girls across and track, and we do create a lot of things for track, you know, with everything from a kind of an unofficial clock to current event graphics, call graphics. And that was one of the things that with track that we kind of created was a list of what are the current calls. And that was something that just kind of came about because my son was in seventh grade. And one of the questions, I remember I coached middle school track my first 4 years here. And one of the things that happened 562 times a meet was, what event is it? What event am I in? What's up next? And so you got, you know, all the kids got t-shirts with the events on the back of the shirt.
Yeah.
And so if you didn't know what the event was, not a kid, and that's where your event was.
That's awesome.
But it was always something where it was like, it was second call for what? Was it boys long jump or girls long jump? 100 meter dash, 200 meter dash. So now we have it listed on the board, and we kind of piloted it for one of our first meet of the year. That year was a middle school meet that my kid was in. And so I'm like, hey, I'm just going to put this on the board just to try to make everybody's life easier. And we got every single coach and a lot of the parents and even the kids had remarked that having that on the board was the best thing ever for that middle school meet, because it made everything run smoothly. If you didn't quite hear what it was, because you never hear the first half of the announcement, you only hear the second half. So you just look at the board and you can see, oh, it was boys, girls, whatever. And so that's kind of become a mainstay for us for track meets. We ended up holding, I think it was a conference or regional meet that year for the high school. And that really became handy too. That helped the flow of the meet a lot. And so making, you know, helping kids kind of create different things, helping them kind of understand the different aspects of all the different potential things, content that would go on a board. And then also getting some equipment in their hands and helping them create some different ideas. We got some really cool ideas. We have a project board right now that our fall classes are building. Any idea that they come up with, we're putting it on kind of the big board, And that way we have this giant pool of ideas to go to if kids are looking for a project to do.
That's like awesome.
50 different things that you can do.
Pick one, figure out how to make it work.
That's
right. Yeah.
That's so true about the track thing. Cause I mean, in high school, yeah, I was that same way too. And it always depended on where you're at. Some announcements were really blurry and you really couldn't understand the person, yeah, even when you were trying. And then I guess I was in track in college too, but all I did was high jump. So I had to do is just hang around the high jump mat and I never really had to worry what event was going on because that's, yeah, the only thing I could do. But I want to thank you though for joining us here today though, Jason, because it's one of those things where if people get a video board at a high school or college, whatever it is, it's always a great addition. But when they have people like you that run the stuff behind it and come up with the ideas and have the passion, like it's very apparent that you have when talking to you today.
Right.
I just want to thank you for all that because I think that just makes that video board that much more impactful having someone like you operate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's become kind of my, you know, my little baby. So, yeah. You know, people have asked at Wanakee's like, what happens if you would move away or if something would happen to you? And I'm like, okay, first of all,
thanks. Like,
yeah. Don't jinx me.
Right.
Yeah, but second of all, I'm like, yeah, I may have to renegotiate my contract because if I go away, that nobody knows how to run that video board. So
you keep track of how many people say it.
Yeah.
That's right. And then all of a sudden the class got approved. Like, oh, we better start getting some kids up there. So it's a good thing because now we'll have some kids that are able to run it too. So
yeah, there you go. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything with us and your experience of working with our display and the curriculum.
You bet. Been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dactronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.